WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Those who live and work in Buffalo, New York, and surrounding communities are being told to stay home and off the roads due to an expected snowstorm. New York Governor Kathy Hochul stressing...
What we're talking about is a major storm. This is considered an extreme event, an extreme weather event. That means it's dangerous. It also means it's life-threatening.
Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz.
Snowfall rates will not only exceed 3 inches per hour, but could be 4 or 5 inches per hour during the initial hit.
Then the lake effect keeps it coming. The Buffalo Bills' Sunday home game against the Cleveland Browns has been moved to Detroit. A change in U.S. House leadership is on the way. CBS's Natalie Brand with more on Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Never would I have thought that someday I would go from homemaker to House Speaker.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced she's stepping down from leadership when Republicans take control of the chamber next year.
With great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
Pelosi, now 82, became the nation's first woman to hold the Speaker's gavel in 2007. She's led House Democrats for nearly 20 years.
For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect.
We call the shots. We call the shots.
Starbucks workers at more than 100 stores throughout the country hit the picket line today. It's the largest labor action since workers began efforts to unionize. Barista Laura Rosario in Montclair, New Jersey.
I've worked here for 4 years, and I've struggled all 4 years working here still, and nothing has become better for the work conditions. Things are always breaking down.
They want better pay, more consistent schedules, and higher staffing levels in busy locations. An accident has left former Tonight Show host and car collector Jay Leno in worse shape than earlier indicated. More from CBS's Steve Futterman.
He has already undergone one surgery. Comedian Jay Leno will have to undergo at least one additional surgery. Leno, who is 72 years old, suffered second-degree burns on his hands, face, and chest. The doctor treating him is concerned they could become third-degree burns. The former Tonight Show host has previously said he hoped to be sidelined only a couple of weeks. The doctor says recovery will take longer than that. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Aaron Judge has been named most valuable player of Major League Baseball's American League. Cardinals slugger Paul Goldschmidt wins the NL MVP award. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed down 8 points. NASDAQ fell 39. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Did you know there's a conservative advocacy and benefits organization with over 2 million members and counting? It's AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Here are three reasons why you should consider joining AMAC right now. First, AMAC saves you money. From discounts on travel and lodging, cell phones and plans, access to insurance products, and more. Joining AMAC is a powerful tool against inflation. Second, with a bi-monthly magazine, daily website content, podcasts with America's thought leaders, and an app that delivers insightful coverage of the issues that matter most, AMAC is a trusted source of information. And third, the reason that people say is their favorite is that AMAC fights for your conservative values on Capitol Hill. With more than 2 million members, AMAC is a voice that cannot be ignored, working tirelessly to preserve the freedom secured by our Constitution. Go to amac.us/liberty and join today. That's amac.us/liberty. amac.us/liberty.
Did you know that the average person has 26,000 days in their life? Once a day is done, it's done. Haven't you always dreamed of doing great things, climbing mountains, helping a family in need, but wondered, where do I start? When you join Girl Scouts, you are given the opportunity to do all kinds of amazing things. Make your life better, the world better. So unleash your potential. Call 888-747-6945 or visit gsnwgl.org and begin the journey right now.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of scattered snow showers. Tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 20. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A few flurries possible at times again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 23. Cloudy. Chance for snow showers. Tomorrow night, 10 above. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Oh, the big news today, the changing of the guard as Speaker Nancy Pelosi stepping aside. Leadership change in the Democratic Party. And look, I'm looking at, you know, who the Republican's going to be, who's going to be Speaker of the House. I think the signals are saying, Kevin McCarthy, you're probably not going to be it. I was hoping for it. I really was hoping for Kevin McCarthy to get his wish, to get his dream, and then all the headaches and the troubles and the, well, what is going to come with it. But here to share some thoughts on the day's news and also, well, what we can expect out of the Republican-led House. I've asked our good friend Joe Walsh to come talk with us. Joe's a former Illinois congressman, 2022 Republican presidential candidate and host of the White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. He's also a frequent contributor over at Courier Newsroom, our friends there, couriernewsroom.com, their website. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Brother Smith, I love you, man.
So, thoughts about four people sticking around for Pelosi's announcement today, four Republicans.
What little people they are. I think about Kevin McCarthy. What a crappy thing to do. But I know McCarthy well, Rick. He's just a hollow little man. And so it doesn't surprise me.
So the chances of McCarthy becoming speaker, you putting any money on this? Any odds?
Oh, I think it's automatic. Yeah.
You think he's going to get what he wants?
Oh, yeah. He sold his soul to Donald Trump a while ago to get what he wanted. Trump's behind him. He has sold his soul to Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan and all the rest. He's cut a deal with them. So he will become speaker. I don't think it will be much of a contest. But you and I know once McCarthy becomes speaker, the real speaker is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. And this is where I keep wishing for him. I want McCarthy to get it because I want him to get everything I know he's going to get. And as the question I asked the other day, how long does he remain speaker and under which terms does he end up out of being speaker? Does he get voted out or does he end up hanging himself out of it?
What I know about him, Rick, is, again, he's got no core. He has no policy chops or philosophical being to him. All he's wanted to do since I was there was to be in leadership. So I think he'll be fine because I think he's going to give the crazy extremists in his caucus everything they want. And look, they've come out today and said what they want. They want to investigate the January 6th committee. They want to investigate Hunter Biden every day. So that's the deal that's been cut, and McCarthy has to live with it.
No, and this is where, but as a leader, you go, I got to think about it, holding on to this gavel. If he allows them to do all this, doesn't that eventually cost him the gavel down the road when we see exactly who the Republicans are?
It will cost Republicans the House in 2 years. The 2 years we're looking at, Rick, of kind of like a revenge tour, investigate, 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 impeach, 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 that's only going to piss off the American people. Look, losing the House to the Republicans is the best thing to happen to Democrats for 24.
I agree.
You know that, and I know that. It's the best thing to happen to Joe Biden if he wants to run, because he can just sit there and respond to all this craziness every day.
And in the fashion that they lost. Look, had it been a landslide, a sweep, had they lost 40, 50 seats as the red wave was supposed to happen, then it would have been a different story. But this close of a margin, this tight, this is the worst possible scenario for Republicans, because they get to be as crazy as they want to be without the mandate to be as crazy as they are.
And let's be clear, Rick. Kevin McCarthy is no Nancy Pelosi. You know, Nancy Pelosi led with a very slim majority, and she kept her caucus in line. She kept them generally all on the same page. She had a base, a left flank that she had to deal with, but it ain't nothing like McCarthy's right flank, because these people on McCarthy's right, they want to burn the whole place down. So McCarthy's got to live with that.
Yeah, no, see, I got to tell you, and I shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm going to anyway, because I know some of my left friends are going to be very angry with me. But secretly, I was hoping Lauren Boebert would win. I was kind of pulling for her. I mean, if you're going to lose the House, yeah, I want her there. I want Gun Fetish Barbie right there, because I think she's good to bring the crazy.
Look, if you believe our democracy is under threat and my former political party is the threat, then you've got to take a long-term view here. And you want Kevin McCarthy to be speaker, and you want Marjorie Taylor Greene to grab him by the balls every day and tell him what to do. You want that, because that you're looking toward 24 and you're looking toward beyond. We got to play the long game here.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So here's my problem, though. And this is where, again, I keep coming back to what I do know is, while this shenanigans goes on, and I'm going to buy popcorn stock tomorrow, because, you know, evidently that's going to happen. We're not going to do anything to make people's lives better. We're not going to be moving anything to address real needs and real problems. And look, we could debate policy all day long. And the sad thing, Joe, is, you know, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk and we're going to agree on everything. And I know policy-wise, you and I have major, major disagreements. We're not going to solve those problems. You know, look, all I get from people is, you know, crime is out of control. The border's out of control. You know, go down the list. Gas prices, you know, inflation, all this, none of that stuff's being addressed, because we're going to be figuring out what size underwear Hunter Biden wears. We're going to be figuring out what Nancy Pelosi had for lunch yesterday, and not dealing with real actual problems. And that's where my problem is.
Yeah, but you know what? You, I, and everybody listening to us right now, they got to suck it up. Look, this is the time we're in. And even if the Republicans weren't crazy, batshit crazy, pardon me, Biden's gotten everything he's going to get in these first 2 years. It's not like there was any major legislation that Biden and the Democrats were going to be able to advance in these next 2 years. In another 3 to 4 to 5 months, we're going to be in a presidential campaign. You know, like I know, a president gets 95% of what he gets done in the first 2 years. So it was always going to be divided. The difference here, though, and you're right, is it won't be a divide on policy. This will be the Republicans simply trying to investigate every single Democrat they can investigate.
No, it's going to be, well, if nothing else, for you and me, it's going to be entertaining. I mean, there's going to be something to watch. It's going to make our jobs so much easier, because there's going to be there's going to be clear divide stuff for the people saying, you know, both political parties are the same. They're not.
No, they're not. And look, I would say to your face, because you and I do disagree on policy, and you're a good, lovable lefty, I think the left is wrong on most things, but I think the right is like anti-democracy. They are like an enemy to our democracy right now. This is the time we live in. It's a unique time where Rick Smith and Joe Walsh lock arms. We're on the same side, brother, defending against my former party.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman, 2022 presidential candidate, host of White Flag with Joe Walsh, the podcast. Make sure you check that out. Also a frequent contributor with our friends over at Courier Newsroom. Check out their website, couriernewsroom.com. We'll get links out on social media. You can see the incredible work that he does there as well. And like he says, I don't know that I'm going to take the lovable lefty thing. I don't know. I'm not that lovable.
Yeah, you're not lovable.
Not lovable.
You're lefty, but you're not lovable.
You look at my email. No, there's no lovable there. The thing of the matter is, you're right. There are things that we should be able to agree on, and that's where I want us to focus. Going forward, I just don't know that we can until this whole democracy thing, whether what happens at the ballot box is respected or not. And fortunately, this time around, I think we've dodged a bullet that, at least in my state of Pennsylvania, the vote was overwhelming in turning back someone like Doc Mastriano. And in other places where you got Kerry Lake, who's like, I'm not conceding. I'm hoping the voters go, you know what, we're tired of this and shun them even in an even greater numbers.
I'm not ready yet, Rick, to say that election denialism is dead. I think it's still alive and well in my former party. Again, as we sit here now, 70, 80, 85% of Republican voters do not believe Joe Biden really won. That's a fact right now. So don't tell me election denialism is dead. Donald Trump announced he's running for president a couple nights ago. He's the chief election denier, and he's the odds-on favorite still to be the Republican nominee.
Now, let me ask you about that, because it kind of went with a thud. I look at the New York Post, Trumpty Dumpty, not really the most glowing headline. The Red State had the Trump shocked the world by putting us to sleep. Like the red wave that turned into the red wine, this really wasn't the splash I think he was expecting.
No, and when he teased it before the midterms, he, like all of us, almost everybody, figured it was going to be a big Republican night. Most people did, and then it wasn't. He still had to go through with this announcement, though, because if he didn't, he would have looked weak, and Trump hates to look weak. And I know the speech was low energy and boring, but his advisors told him, and he listened, don't talk about 2020, sound presidential, focus on what you did, what Biden's doing, and what you will do. He did that. He can't deliver a speech. But none of that matters, Rick. It doesn't matter what Rupert Murdoch or the New York Post says. It doesn't matter what Fox News says. It doesn't matter what Republican donors or bigwigs say. They've never liked Trump. The bottom line is Republican voters. And as long as Trump has them, and if he can keep them, all these other people will line up.
Do you see that happening? I mean, how do you see this playing out? Because there's part of me that's starting to see some cracks, because some of my Trump supporter friends have, they've put away the hat. They had the hat. They bought it. They bought the T-shirt. They're not wearing it anymore. Maybe talking about some other people. For me, the entertainment is going to be when the Trump trolls kind of turn on him. I'm curious what you're looking at.
Yes, I've seen cracks. I talk to Trump supporters every day, and I've seen cracks. I would remind you that I saw cracks after January 6th. From Trump supporters for about a week or two or three. And then eventually they all came back solid. There are cracks here. I don't know if it's permanent. And even if it is permanent, Rick, he still has a hold on 30 to 35% of the base. They're not just supporters, they're cult followers, and they will die for him. He's got that. The other 30 to 35% that's MAGA, that generally supports him, they'll support him if it looks like he can win. So he's still got a base that nobody else has.
Yeah. You liking the MAGA thing? Are you on board with MAGA?
What's my, oh God. I don't, I got to confess, I don't even pay attention. I don't pay attention to what he says.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going, I think you overreached on this marketing ploy. Is this the next level of merchandising? Because look, I look at Trump as it's all about the grift. It's all about how much they can get from people. The next merchandising scheme, and I'm looking at, you know, MAGA was a great marketing scheme. It really was. They bought the hat, they got the flags, they got all kinds of stuff. They got working people reaching into their pocket, throwing out their hard-earned money. And I don't think they're going to buy MAGAGA. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know, but you know, here's the other thing, Rick. If not Trump, who?
Yeah.
I mean, if Trump stays in and he runs hard to be president, to be the nominee, who's going to challenge him? Mike Pence is a dead man walking. He has no prayer.
Nope.
If not Trump, it has to be a really the same kind of guy, a really Trumpy, cruel, authoritarian guy. Now, the only one people talk about is DeSantis. Yeah. I know DeSantis. He's no Trump in that he has zero charisma. And even though a lot of people say DeSantis, Republicans say DeSantis, nationwide, he's not super well known. And most of these Republicans nationwide who say DeSantis, they're really Trump supporters who think maybe this guy can win. I'm not convinced that once they see and hear from him, that he's going to knock him over.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But all along, I hope you'll be here to share some thoughts with us and give us some good analysis. I hope you'll have a good holiday, a good Thanksgiving, you and your family. And I appreciate you sharing a little time with us and sharing your thoughts.
Love you, Rick Smith. Thank you, brother.
As always, good stuff. Our good friend Joe Walsh. Check out his White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, you will find ours. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around to listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk. If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Gotta tell you, I like Joe Walsh, even though we disagree on policy, well, just about everything. And while he was in Congress, he was my chew toy. He was somebody that did not... I don't think I had one nice word to say about him, but he's somebody who, you know, in talking about, you know, fighting for democracy and being on the right side of the issue... He is there. Let's go to the phones. Got Johnny on line one. Johnny, how are we doing today? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing well. A bit of a slow day at work today, but other than that, pretty good. I just wanted to come in and ask a question because I was looking at, you know, the right-wing response to the election. And, you know, we all kind of assumed if it didn't turn out good for the right wing, they were going to be mad, you know, because of course they are. But I think, like what you were talking about, a lot of people on the right were expecting this sort of red wave to come in, and they were just going to sweep house, make all this progress. And when that didn't happen, I think we've seen kind of how people have reacted to that. And I kind of want to just hear what you have to say about the reactions you've seen so far from people.
I think the reaction on the right has been silence from most of the people that I know. The people that I know they're kind of shocked. They bought that it was going to be this red wave. They watched the F channel tell them that it was coming. They bought that this tidal wave was going to wipe out the libs. It was going to make people like me cry. And on the left, people were, you know, they were hoping that the Roe-vember was going to happen, and you know they're happy it didn't. Now look, did it solve anything? No, we're still a divided government. We're not going to accomplish anything for the next 2 years other than seeing that the Republicans are going to do crazy stuff. This is where the organizing has to come, and we have to figure out how to talk to each other and figure out how to get back between the curves, so to speak.
Well, I guess the reaction, it kind of, there's like two reactions you're really going to get from people. One is, like you said, they're like stunned silent. They can't really understand what's going on. They're shocked. And then I've also seen quite a lot of people that are absolutely outraged. They're freaking out, screaming. And I just think to myself, like, you know, when I come home from a long day of work, I don't have the energy to go out and just scream like these people do.
Yeah.
They get so angry. Like, think about it. Like, it really makes you think, what do these people do that they have this much energy to just come out here and just scream all day long? Like, are they unemployed or what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Johnny. I appreciate the call, buddy. You're absolutely right. By all means, please call back again. But, you know, look, the reality is, we've got to be talking to each other. We've got to be moving in a direction that unites us. And you're right. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy being expelled. And we could do things in a more positive direction, I think. And good on you, Johnny. Thanks for the call. But again, you know, I go back to, you know, talking with Joe Walsh. Joe has been a guy that, like I said, we don't agree on just about anything. And on this issue, this issue, we have the ability to come together. And this is where, again, I think, you know, even if your idea is to go and into a direction that isn't productive, the things that we can agree on is where we should be starting. The things that we can agree on that, for instance, you know, wasting all this energy on being, you know, just outraged all the time. Maybe put some of that energy into, how do we make our community better? How do we make our little place better? Maybe, you know, use that energy in a way that, you know, I say it all the time. You want to change the world? Change your little piece of it. For me, that's the part that's I'm hoping for. But again, Johnny, appreciate the call. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I do answer all emails personally. I got to get this story in real quick before we get to Austin Linfante. South Dakota. Love South Dakota. State House race there. This is one of those hysterical kind of things. Evidently, a guy named Marty May, 37, he was arrested in Box Elder, South Dakota, about 4 a.m. on Sunday morning, charged with second-degree rape. According to the court filings, he's accused of forced coercion and threats of immediate and great bodily injury against a victim. The day after he lost the election for state house in South Dakota, he lost to his mother. Not only did he lose to his mother, he lost. He was fourth in a four-person race, but he lost to his mother.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoosels at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art and all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of scattered snow showers. Tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 20. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A few flurries possible at times again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 23. Cloudy. Chance for snow showers. Tomorrow night, 10 above. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Actions petty and said she supported Robin Voss's opponent because she doesn't believe Voss can unify the Republican Party. Her expulsion from GOP caucus meetings bars her from discussions on potential legislation or political strategies. Voss has also said it's unlikely Branchon will remain as chair of the Assembly's Election Committee. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Constitutional requirement. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more information, go to ballotpedia.org.
back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as I said at the beginning, the reality is buy popcorn stock because, well, it's going to be a wild ride the next 2 years. I mean, Congress is going to be crazy. You've always got Ohio to look at and the insanity that we're going to see there over the next 2 years. And, well, over the next couple of months. What am I talking about? Years. Wow, they are not disappointing in my former state of Ohio. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the craziness going on there. I've asked our good friend Lyndon Austin Linfante to come talk with us. Austin is the multimedia editor and reporter over at Heartland Signal, our radio partner over at WCPT AM 820 in Chicago. Austin, thanks for taking time for us.
No problem. Yeah, Ohio, as soon as the election ended, it seems like a bunch of people there just got big heads and it's like, you know what, we're just going to go full crazy.
No, I mean, that's what happens when you have absolute power. I mean, they have super duper majorities where even the governor, this is the weird thing. You've got the governor who now is powerless. He's the most popular governor probably ever in the state of Ohio. I mean, he massive landslide. He's irrelevant. Nothing he can do is going to matter because, well, they've got a super majority override anything he wants or says.
Yeah, and just going from how they treated during the pandemic, which is so weird to see how he was treated back then, where people hated the thought of any sort of mandate, to right now where he absolutely crushes over Nan Whaley. But regardless, even if he, whatever he wants to do, they have a supermajority everywhere now. So he's more or less a figurehead.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. Now you've been out of Ohio for a while. We're both Ohio guys, grew up there. You've been out of there for a while. I moved out in 93. When I moved out of Ohio in 93, it was a sane state. It was a good, solid, blue, working class state. Somehow lost its mind.
Yeah, I only moved out last year, and so I was able to see it go from like the sort of purple state to with a bunch of a bunch of working class sensibilities, and then really just when Trump came in, like there's no other way to put it. They very much took that to heart and
so do you think
ran with it.
Do you think is one of the narratives that I've been throwing out on this? Because look, it's been a while since I've lived there, but the people that I know, you know, the conversations that I've been having is it's just such a badly rigged state that so many people have dropped out, you know, thrown up their hands because the districts are so rigged that you go to vote for, you know, one candidate or the other, and it's predetermined before the first ballot's cast. So many people just have just thrown up their hands and dropped out, which is why on the outside it looks like Ohio is such a red state when really it's not. It is still that purple state where ideas still matter, but because it's so badly rigged, because it's so badly gerrymandered, because you've got them, you know, the state legislature, you know, breaking the law numerous times, it appears from the outside to be a red state. Do you buy into that?
I do and I don't. I do because, of course, you're referring to how they did the maps where the Supreme Court rejected them 5 times. And they still pushed it through. And now that they have a Supreme Court, or a state Supreme Court, where they're probably going to get a rubber stamp to do it, the citizens passed an anti-gerrymandering thing, and it's going to be completely ignored. Now, I say it's not, though, because just what happened this past election, they gerrymandered to have, like, to give the Democrats, like, 3-ish seats and Republicans to pick up 12. Democrats picked up 5. They actually they flipped one of the seats, Steve Chapman's seat, and Tim Ryan's old seat, where they assumed it was just going to go full Republican. It's not. Amelia Sykes is going to be representing it. So it's something they had the chance to rig it, but that the sort of reaction to what was going to happen, all the crazy candidates, was so big that they said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold on! Even if we're good at gerrymandering, we're not going to stand for this."
No, I mean, this is my argument. I mean, the argument is it's not as red as it appears to be, and as that they want us to believe that they have rigged it badly, especially on the state level. When you're talking about the state house and the state senate, how badly they've rigged those. I want voters, please go vote some of these bums out, take back some sanity, because that phrase, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. is, you know, Ohio is the example that is in the dictionary next to that. Because as we went through Ohio, the one thing that kept coming up is, congratulations, Ohio, you are the most corrupt state in the country.
Yeah, no, absolutely the most corrupt. Like, the fact of the matter is that the top officials right now, and like a bunch of the top people, like, they were, the first energy scandal was one of the biggest corruption scandals in the state's history, and not to mention the online charter school thing, and that did not matter at all. That did not matter to folks. Just because they have such a grip, that state Republican Party has such a grip on local politics.
No, it's crazy. And now the fun, the entertainment, because the election, and I always love how, you know, during up until an election happens, Republicans scare the hell out of voters. The recession's coming. There's crime everywhere. MS-13 is everywhere. You're going to be murdered at any minute if you vote for a Democrat. And then as soon as the election's over, then it's, well, everything else. And Ohio, perfect example. We're not talking about how to bring down gas prices, not talking about worrying about inflation or rebuilding infrastructure or creating jobs or doing any of the things that would, you know, be helpful. No, we're worrying about trans people. A handful of people who are trying to lead their best life. That's the focus of the Ohio General Assembly, which, again, I find sad, mean-spirited, ridiculous, but predictable.
Yeah, definitely. That's House Bill 454, which just yesterday they were debating. And for reference, that's a bill that would essentially heavily restrict how transgender teenagers get gender-affirming care, because even though there's a very small population, like maybe 1%, or 2% who regret transitioning, compared to the 98% who, you know, enjoy living their best life, as you said, they want to say, like, no, you're too young to know what you want. You got to wait at least 2 years, go through counseling for 2 years, and then hopefully wait until you're an adult. And of course, everyone that has a brain hates this. Amy Schneider, the winningest Jeopardy champion, the winningest female Jeopardy champion in show history, had to come down from California to fly into Ohio to go to her home state to tell people, yeah, this is a bad bill. And even then, like, it's so annoying because that the representative who sponsored it, Gary Click, he's such a jerk. He basically went...
Is that the defense? He's such a jerk.
Listen, the mother of a trans girl went up and talked about her experience, and apparently the mother and Click have talked before, and Click just straight out publicly says, like, oh, is your daughter mentally ill? Has she had her mental health checked? And she's like, I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you any of that personal information. And he's like, oh, well, I think your daughter will have been fine. She won't have affected my bill. Of course she would have been affected by that bill.
So the question then should be, are you okay? Have you had your mental health check? Because what I'm told is conservatives believe, you know, get government out of my life. Get government out of our lives. Smaller, less intrusive government, right? Austin, this is what we're told, yet here again, interjecting government into one of the most personal decisions of a family, of which I don't know anything about it. I'll be the first to say, I don't know anything about this, but what I have read is that this is a long process full of having to go through, you know, many professionals and counseling and all kinds of things. This isn't just drive through. Oh, hey, I had an idea today, and we're going to go through some drive through thing. But one thing that did catch my attention, and the reason that I've been so open minded about gender affirming care, is because the one person did tell me, look, you know, at the end of the day, if people don't get to be who they are, at the end of the road, the majority of them, a large number of them, end up just killing themselves. And you go, why would you pursue policy where you know that statistically that's where it's going to end? That's the end of the road for a lot of these teens. And look, as a parent, you know, I don't know how I would react, but I do know one thing emphatically, without question, government should not be making this decision. And that's something conservatives should be on board with. Even crazy right-wing ones like in Ohio.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. Like, this is something that basically, if it passes, will essentially kill a bunch of transgender teenagers. But it's more the fact that, that they most likely don't care. They either want them to conform to whatever was going on, or they just don't want them around.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely disgusting. And these people just want to live their lives, and especially targeting teenagers, like trying to tell it's not only just going into what's going on personally, you're trying to control teenagers.
Yeah. See, that's the thing that gets me. What has this got to do with them? I mean, this is the, you know, and I've talked about this a number of times recently, you know, where I worked, you know, 30 years ago, we dealt with the transgender issue, you know, years ago, 30 years ago in the workplace. You know, we had a guy, we'll call him Ron. That wasn't his name, but Ron went away. Ron came back, and Ron was Rana. Do you know who cared? Nobody. The union and the company worked together, figured out where Rana was going to go to the bathroom. That was the crux of it. But Rana came back, did the same job, made the same wages, had the same working conditions, went home, led her life. All the workers went home, led their lives. Nobody cared. We figured it out. It's because of people like these people in Ohio, these politicians, who have made this kind of insanity where we're not solving real problems. We're creating divisions. And it's done on purpose. It's done to keep us pitted against each other so they can continue to rob us blind and screw things up so that they're never held accountable. And this is the stuff that just ticks me off to no end, because sadly, we're dumb enough to keep falling for this insanity. Shame on you, people of Ohio. Shame on my former state. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Austin Linfante. Austin's a multimedia editor and reporter over at Heartland Signal. HeartlandSignal.com, their website. If you want to take a look at the incredible work that they do there. Let's go over to Wisconsin, because I'm going to lose my mind in Ohio. Although Wisconsin had a great week there on our Working Class Heroes radio tour. Sad to see Mandela Barnes did not win. But look, the ads they ran, scary black man. Yeah, that's why Ron Johnson won, in my view. But he's not happy. He's happy. He's a sore winner, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And after running a campaign of just accepting all these millions of dollars from billionaires and just kind of like, yeah, having those sort of campaign ads, he's basically been a sore winner. So on his first election night, he's basically going now accepting victory. They don't call it for another 12 hours. He could just let them go to bed, but it's like, no, I'm going to call it now. I have people here. And he's basically going up there and saying, wow, it's kind of sucks that it's close anyway. I want truth to prevail. Keep in mind, this is one of the biggest liars in the Senate. It's like, wow, I want truth to prevail. And he's whining that it's close. He lives in Wisconsin. It's one of the most purple states of all time. This was always going to be close. And now, he, in one of his first Senate committee hearings today, he was the FBI Director Christopher Wray was testifying. Rather than asking him literally anything about national security, he's basically like, hey, why did the FBI interview me and Chuck Grassley about whether I'm a Russian asset or not? That was actual election interference. You tried to interfere with my election. So he's basically saying he could have asked him anything.
So the response to that was, Ron, why were you in Russia on the 4th of July?
Yeah, definitely. Not to mention that. And like, as, yeah, everything that's happened since Trump took office and how Trump has dealt with Ukraine. And it's like, really?
No, I mean,
it's
that's like, the question. Why were you in Russia on the 4th of July? Yeah, what symbolism does that send? Why were you in Russia on the 4th of July?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like, oh, that didn't happen. There's pictures of you at that table with Senator John Kennedy and all that stuff. Yeah. There's really not that much to go on. It's like a one-to-one thing.
Yeah, no, it's... Sadly, Wisconsin, bad move here. Six years going to struggle with that guy again. Sad stuff. Finally, good on your state, your now state of Illinois. Very happy. One of the outside of Doug Mastriano being whipped badly, the other thing that I was very happy about, Illinois passed the workers' rights amendment, the workers' rights issue one there. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Illinois, I believe, is now the fourth state to have this outside of New York, California, and I believe Missouri. It is the right to organize, basically the right to have collective bargaining in any sort of workplace that's around. So this RA had 58%, and it was kind of hovering around there. The AP called it on Tuesday. And you might be wondering why. That's a weird thing to do. The way that it happens, it needed either 60% of the people voting on that issue or 50% of people voting there. It was hovering around there, and they didn't know what to do with it. But yeah, basically, this is something that the Illinois Democratic Party like rallied around. It's like, yeah, this is us. This is something Illinois needs of all states. So
yeah,
very happy to see.
No. But here's the thing, and this is the weird part, and this is kind of what I've talked about before. All it says is the law that we have now is going to be the law.
Yeah. The one thing it takes it from like the people puts it from regular law, puts it in the Constitution. That's basically it.
Yeah. No, it's going to be the law. It's the law. Can't screw it up. Don't leave it. That's basically it. And good on Illinois. And again, I've been saying every other state, now it's your turn to go and do this, because the crazy people on the other side have been trying to do their full hearty best to take workers' rights away. It's time that we start fighting to ensure that we get access to our rights. But Austin, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. You guys do amazing work there at Heartland Signal. I'm looking forward to the upcoming mayoral race and all of the work you're going to be doing around that. That should be fun and entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah, like 15 candidates so far. So it's going to be great.
You got your work cut out for you. Thanks so much, Austin. Good stuff.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Our good friend Austin Linfante. Make sure you check out the work that they do over at heartlandsignal.com. That is the website. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Working people, come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1947. That was the day the Screen Actors Guild voted to make all SAG members take an anti-communist loyalty oath. The late 1940s were the dawn of the U.S. Cold War with the Soviet Union. Anti-communist hysteria swept the nation. Hollywood became an early target of the communist witch hunt. Just a few days before the Screen Actors Guild vote, a group of screenwriters and directors, known as the Hollywood Ten, were called before the House Un-American Activities Committee. This group denounced the House Committee's trial. For that, they were sentenced to a year in jail and then blacklisted. The anti-communist backlash had a chilling effect on Hollywood. Many in the movie industry were progressives, and some had actually attended meetings and other activities held by the American Communist Party. However, few of these movie industry people had actually identified as communists. The Screen Actors Guild attempted to head off continued congressional investigation by requiring union members to take a loyalty oath. Ronald Reagan was president of the Screen Actors Guild at the time it decided to implement the oath. Those who were blacklisted saw their careers disintegrate. Many screenwriters wrote screenplays under assumed names. One notable movie, The Salt of the Earth, was made by people who had been blacklisted. The movie was a true story about a 1951 zinc worker strike in New Mexico. The Hollywood Reporter declared the movie was made, quote, under direct orders of the Kremlin. Blacklisted writer Dalton Trumbo finally was able to write a screenplay under his own name thanks to actor Kirk Douglas. Douglas supported Trumbo to write the screenplay for the acclaimed film Spartacus. He insisted Trumbo use his own name. Sadly, far too many were not so courageous during the Red Scare.
Are you tired of
of ThinkTank-approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. I get it. You know, the Workers' Rights Amendment in Illinois is one of those things that I keep telling my labor friends, you know, and have been saying for years, something that should have been done in my state of Pennsylvania years ago. I remember coming back from Wisconsin in 2011 after the uprising. Sleeping in the Capitol there with, you know, the 100,000 of my closest friends protesting Scott Walker's Act 10. And I remember coming back to Pennsylvania going, you should probably be preparing for what's coming, because all of the infrastructure that was built in Wisconsin, all of the things that created Scott Walker and the billionaire money that was funding this is coming this way. This is going to be the start of the attack on labor, because it's really what that was. It was the attack on working people. He was the Trojan horse. He never ran on any of this stuff during the campaign. But boy, the second they got power, this is where they zeroed in. Same thing in Kentucky. They didn't run on making Kentucky a right-to-work state, but boy, first second they got, made head spin at how fast they did it. And I've been saying, you know, you need to make sure that these are solidly in place that can't be taken away. You know, the public sector, you know, stuff. You know, I have had friends over the years say that, look, you know, public sector union rights are executive orders. You know, they're there because of an executive order. We've got to make these law. And that's something that hasn't happened over decades, because the political will wasn't there. Who knows what the reason is. The vision wasn't there. The interest, the thought that, hey, you know, it can't happen. And that's the response I got from the person that I told, because I came back and I said, hey, you know, you've got to start preparing for this. We've got to start building infrastructure to prepare, making it say, look, you know, what I do here on this little program is important. We've got to start the messaging and educating and explaining what's coming. The response I got is, well, that's Wisconsin. This is Pennsylvania. That's not going to happen here. And here we are years later. It's all here. And my mind is, you know, had you begun that process of doing what Illinois, and good on you for doing this, and I'm saying pick up the ball now, learn from what Illinois has done and move forward. If we pick this up and move it forward now, push on it. Do what and again, I'm not talking about, this isn't reinventing the wheel. I'm not Magellan here discovering new lands. I'm not reading into my crystal ball. I save that for special occasions. Just doing what the right has already done. You look at what the National Right to Work people have done. They've spent money in states that were solid union states, and they've done it for decades. And slowly over time, they've eroded the strength of unions in these states by constantly pushing. And this is what working people have to do. They have to constantly push and fight and defend what they have. Because this huge win in Illinois, and it is, it's an enormous win, is nothing more than what you already have. It's the law. All it's saying is that it's going to be the law tomorrow and the day after, that our children are going to have the same opportunities that we've had. That's all it says. And this is why it's so important. It's the same thing. You know, I've had women say the same thing about Roe.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE.